tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted over all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he. Mighty King, lover of justice, you have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Extol the Lord our God, worship at his footstool. Holy is he. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel also was among those who called on his name. They cried to the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them in the pillar of cloud. They kept his decrees and the statutes that he gave them. O Lord our God, you answered them. You were forgiving God to them, a forgiving God to them, but an avenger of their wrongdoings. Extol the Lord our God, and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy.
Psalm 99. Holy is he. And it is into the holiness of God's presence that we welcome one another this morning, and in awe know ourselves to be welcomed by our God. What other hymn could we sing than this? When we consider the holiness of our God, when we settle into the light of his presence, then we are full of awe and joy at his beauty. But there is also a moment of shame because we do not love him with our whole hearts. And we do not, as he asked us, love our neighbours as ourselves. Let us take a moment before God to tell him of the things for which we are ashamed. Lord, our holy God, in our sin we have avoided your call. Our love for you is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes away early. Have mercy on us. Deliver us from judgment. Bind up our wounds and revive us. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May God, who loved the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour, forgive you your sins and make you holy to serve him in the world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the Collect for the 19th Sunday after Trinity. Let us pray. Father Lord, whose steadfast love never ceases and whose mercies never come to an end, grant us the grace to trust you and to receive the gifts of your love, new every morning in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I think many of us want to do better. I find this song helpful.
The reading is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, beginning at verse 15. Paying tax to Caesar. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians. "Teacher," they said, "we know you're a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax." They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, "Whose portrait is this, and whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then he said to them, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, so they left him and went away. Here ends the reading.
In Matthew 10, verse 16, Jesus tells his disciples to be as wise as serpents. This is when he's sending them out to be amongst the people. And in the reading we hear today, Matthew 22, 15 to 22, we see that Jesus is actually putting into practice what he has preached. The situation is that he's just made a triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The people adore him. They think he's this great, wonderful military leader come to free them from the Romans. And then, on top of this, he's gone into the temple and he's overcast all the moneylenders and thrown them out. So he's managed to upset just about everybody in authority, both the religious and the secular. And they're unanimous in one thought: Jesus must die. But they know that they can't just have him assassinated. If they do that, the people will rise up against them and they'll have the very rebellion, the very uprising that they're trying to avoid. It's not that long since a man called Judas actually did lead an uprising in Judea, and that was horribly and brutally crushed by the Romans. Nevertheless, Jesus has to go. So they decide to try and trick him, to turn the people against him. Now, in Israel, it was anathema to have a coin or any other image with the head of a god on it, with God's head on it. You couldn't have any image of God, nor indeed could you even have his name said. They knew him as God or Yahweh, which means I am. And here are these Romans with their denarii coin, which has on it the head of an emperor, and the inscription declaring the emperor to be a god. Well, you can imagine what the Israelites, the Jewish people, thought of that. Well, the Romans weren't stupid. They didn't want another rebellion on their hands, so they allowed the Jewish people to use a coin with no image on it for their everyday work and everyday business. But when it came to the taxes, it had to be the denarii, which had the emperor's head on it and that horrible inscription saying that he was a god. So they decided to try to ask Jesus, is it lawful to pay taxes? What a question. If he says no, well, they can arrest him. They can pass him over to the Roman authorities. He's an agitator. He's a revolutionary leader. He could upset all the people. That's against the law not to pay taxes. They've got him. If he says yes, well, he loses the respect of all the people. They think he's a sympathiser with the Romans. They think they have Jesus over a barrel. But Jesus uses that wisdom of his and outflanks them beautifully. He asks to see the coin. And of course, They take a denarii out of their purse and pass it to them. And that's an important point. They take the denarii out of their own purse, thus demonstrating that they are using it. They have one. They are the hypocrites. Jesus looks at it and he asks, whose image is this? It's Caesar's. Whose inscription is this? It's Caesar's. Well, then if it's Caesar's, then it must belong to him. How can they answer that? He's put the question back onto them. But he's doing more than that. He tells them, give to God what is God's. He's actually thrown the whole question they were asking him back at them. Are they truly servants of God? Or are they more servants of the Romans, servants of the secular authority? And this is something we need to ask of ourselves too. In all our life, whether it's at work, or in our social life, or in our politics, we make compromises. We have to. But how often do we actually analyse which of these compromises is a compromise too far? Which of them is going against God? So it's a good thing for us, perhaps, to sit down sometime, to think through our lives, to think of what we do, to think of where we compromise with God, if you like. Should we? How can we get out of this? How can we change our lives? Our lives should be acceptable to God. So we must examine our lives thoroughly and see what changes we need to make. Jesus was actually a great revolutionary leader. He was a great revolutionary leader in love. He was going to the cross, all right, but he was going on his terms and in his time and as an innocent man. And he expects us to remember that question he asked of the Pharisees and the questioners. Do we give to God what is God's? Do we give our allegiance to God? Do we give our time to God? Do we give our thoughts to God, our prayers to God, our words to God? What do we do that would mark us out as different from the people who are asking Jesus those questions? A thought to think about. And now we are to be led in prayer.
Because Fran has kindly done the homily for us this week, that means that I can lead the prayer, something that doesn't happen very often. But it seems to me that although we are all facing and trying to survive the same storm, we are, as the phrase goes, in different boats. We each of us see it differently, and there are many sorrows unique to us that we want to bring before God. So today, accompanied by that beautiful rendition of the Lord's Prayer in Aramaic, I suggest that I simply introduce an area for prayer and then allow you space to pray as you will, as you wish, allowing the Spirit to move within your heart, bringing your yearnings to God. We pray for the peoples of the world. Shmai of Bona. We pray for those in authority and those who hold any kind of power. We pray for creation. We pray for all who suffer and for those who try to help. We pray for the church. And we pray for ourselves
and for those we love.
On behalf of the world and with one another, let us pray alongside our Lord Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Has rightly encouraged us to take time with God to look at our lives, to look at ourselves and to see where we compromise what is holy, what is holy. But I think when we have done that, it is right to look outwards. God's blessings lie all around us. The other night I was travelling in spirit in the dark, in the small hours of the morning. I'd almost reached that point when nothing would do but to go and get a marmalade sandwich. And I rolled over and looked out of the window. And there, framed between the branches of a tree that I could not normally see because the leaves are too heavy, there was a star, a bright star shining. Look outwards at the blessings around us. I want to encourage you, if you can, to join us on Wednesday evening for our first Bible study. It will be at 7 o'clock via Zoom, and we will have about 10-15 minutes worth of somebody taking us through a part of the Bible. And then we'll be split up into smaller groups where we can talk about the passage, talk about what it means to us, and also then to hear from each other within that little group how we are, how we're all doing, and what we can pray for one another. Small groups and in the presence of God's word. Thank you for being with us this morning. Shall we receive God's blessing? Go forth into your lives in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honour everyone. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and those for whom you pray, now and always. Amen. Let us join together in our final hymn.